Turn your Bible to the passage that we read this morning at the outset of our service this morning, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm just going to read, instead of verses 28 through 39, I'm just going to read verses 38 and 39. And if you'd stand for the reading of the Word. And we're going a little bit different today. We're going to kind of follow on the heels of what we did for Mother's Day when we talked about that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And that was verse 1. And now we're going to look at the last two verses, verses 38 and 39. And we'll call today's message a sermon for the rest of us. If you ever thought, I just never get a lot of this sometimes. I don't know. I'm just feeling this way or that way. This is for you. A sermon for the rest of us. Verse 38 and verse 39. Hear God's promise of love, His word of grace, and His word in power. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly Father, be magnified and glorified. Let your people be edified and your kingdom be multiplied. Speak to all of us. And for those that just feel separated on a day like today, on a day when other things seem so good and then it makes us seem and feel so bad. Speak to the rest of us, which is all of us. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Church can be a painful place on Father's Day. People think about it a lot with Mother's Day. But church can be a very painful place for people on Father's Day. It can be hard to deal with all the attention given to fathers in the media, let alone having to deal with a sermon talking about it. Many people struggle when thinking about their father. And many fathers are racked with guilt and grief over their children. People can be struggling in ways we might not even realize when it comes to a day like this, and holidays in general, and we'll talk about that. People who had a bad father, or they don't know their father, or they're estranged from their father, or their father passed away recently, or they were abandoned or abused by their father, and so forth. Women whose husbands have abdicated their roles. Men who never had any children. You need to think about that. Or they abandoned, aborted, or abused their children. They feel a crushing weight when this day comes near. And I want to speak to you to build you up, not to beat you down. This is the promise of God to His people of His love. God's word of grace for those who feel condemnation and who feel separation. We talked about this condemnation, about mothers, and they're not condemned even if they mess things up. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And the promise here at the end is for people that feel separated, when other people are lifted up and other people feel so good, we're like, but what about me? I'm speaking to the rest of us. This message is bigger than Father's Day. I want to speak to all the people who feel marginalized. I'm speaking to youth today because they don't meet some standard that others hold up as an ideal. Nothing we can do is enough. We made the wrong choice all those years ago. Or we did the wrong things too often. We didn't follow the traditional path. We don't have the right education. We don't have the right experience. We have the wrong emotional makeup. We're the wrong age, the wrong gender, the wrong height, the wrong weight, the wrong race, the wrong social status, the wrong nationality. We have the wrong background. We don't have the right backstory. And on and on and on it could go. Now for some of us, maybe the rest of us, maybe we mess things up so bad that we can never make things right again. At least that's what we're told when we try. It'll never work. You aren't qualified. You don't have the skills or the talent. You should do something else. You need to watch your motives. I think you may be caught up in pride. It's heartbreaking. Can't seem to connect. Can't seem to get anywhere. We'll always be lesser or a loser in some people's eyes. And we can never be a leader. Because it seems that our past performance or our lack of pedigree means that we forfeited our right to rise up. someone, somewhere, sometime, somehow is going to marginalize you. And for some of us, you have these great big red flags that seem to stand out like a proverbial scarlet letter. Or we feel that way most of the time. I'm speaking to you today. You might have messed things up real bad, but God is in the turnaround business. And the right time to do the right thing is right now, even if the so-called right people won't give you a chance. How many times have you tried to do something? Or you wanted to do something? Or you were doing something? Or you just did something, but people put you down and they tried to shut you down? I've had this happen so many times throughout my life. I could just give you example, 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 example. Just when you think you started to do things right, so you did things wrong. But just when you started to get some traction, just when you decided, just when you started to do things right, someone or something reminds you of your past failures, your lack of credentials, or your mistakes in judgment or whatever. Some people might not mean to be mean, but others are just trying to put you into your place. Little short guy, what are you doing with that basketball? To make an easy example. Woman, what are you doing talking about Jesus? You drug user, you homeless person, you this, you that, you this, you that. How dare you? They may not say it that way, but it comes off that way, or at least we feel it that way. It affects you. Everybody in here, it affects you, does it not? You hear the voices, real or imagined. Who are you to do this, or try that, or talk this way? How dare you rise up and lead? You aren't doing it right. You haven't earned the right to speak. Oh boy, that one gets me. You need to know your place. We always seem to be fighting the war of the whispers. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now let's be honest. If that's not you, then I don't know what you're doing to knock it back. But we do that. We could be a good, solid, faithful Christian for 40 years. And something we did 40 or 50 years ago comes creeping back in and says, You shouldn't put yourself out there like a shiny piece of brass. You're nothing but a tin cup. So when I say this sermon is for the rest of us, it's for all of us. What we need to hear is the word of God's grace. People say you haven't earned a seat at the table, but you know what God says in Ephesians 2:6? He says your place is with Jesus at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. You need to realize your truth about your position as a Christian. There's a physical and also a spiritual geography to who you are. You live in two places at once. For those of us who are here in this local church right now, we're at Riverside in Citrus County in Florida in the United States. That's really where we are. But we're also citizens of the heavenly kingdom, Philippians 3:20. That is really who we are. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Let that sink down into your head. And wait till we get to the end, because you're thinking, but, I'm going to nail that butt today. Spank it. No matter where we find ourselves physically, whatever place and whatever condition, it doesn't change our spiritual identity. You may be at work. You may be out of work. You may be at home. You may be homeless. Maybe on top of things or under the weather. Loaded with cash or out of money. You may be down in the dumps, over the hill, or beside yourself. You may be in pain, in poverty, or in prison, but you're forever in Christ if you know Him. Your spiritual identity is not affected. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And people will say that you forfeited your future. But God says you're a saint. The New Testament says it all the time. It describes believers this way again and again. Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:2, Ephesians 1:1, Philippians 1:1, Colossians 1:2, 2 Thessalonians 1:10. He doesn't say, and Aristarchus and Tychicus, oh, they're saints, and Epaphroditus and Timothy, they're saints, and Rufus, he's a saint. But no, we won't mention, no. Even when they're having a church fight in Philippians 4, he says, with all those that are written in the book of life, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Is that you? It's not some special, this idea of saint is not some special distinction for the super spiritual. It's not something we achieve or aspire to. Yes, we should aim to walk worthy of that call. And yes, there's people that act godlier than others. But saints is not a category between believers. It's a category between believers and unbelievers. The making of a saint is not by the works of men, it is the work of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's what matters, our relationship with Christ. That's who our future is. And I said those words perfectly. That's who our future is. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we will be like Him because we will see Him and know Him as He is. Amen. People are going to tell you, you'll never make a difference. You know, you're doing bad and you're doing good. Now, not everybody's just perfect little. I'm talking to the rest of us. Father's Day can really be down on people. Someone like me, do you say Father's Day or not? All my children are adopted. They're not really my... Yeah, exactly. But I had a lovely woman tell me today. She said, Happy Father's Day. And I'm so thankful that it made a difference. But we think about that. And we think about our father. And maybe he was abusive. Maybe, you know, I think of... You know, it's not just the women that deal with abortion. It's the men. And it can be 27 years later. And those thoughts come to you. And you think, this is why I can't do this because I did that. That's what I'm talking about. That's what people do to you. You have wayward children. You don't have any children. You abuse your children. Something happened. You were good. My point is this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Yes, you should do well. But the right time to do the right thing is right now. Again, people tell you can't make a difference. They try to limit your influence. But if you're in Christ, your spiritual identity causes you to make an impact, carry an influence, make a difference. Your spiritual identity should control and characterize how you live, wherever you are, whatever you do. You don't live in Christ just when you're at church or some holy atmosphere. Being in Christ is not simply a heavenly reality that pertains to somewhere up there, the sweet by and by. It's an ever-present, everlasting reality. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can you hear it? Hear His voice. People say you can't, but God says you can. And you can persevere and know your life has meaning and purpose. Your life is not in vain. The great chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, at the very end, Paul says, based on the resurrection, based on the reconciliation, based on the restoration, based on the redemption, God says this to you. He says, my beloved brothers, therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. It doesn't matter what other people say. What does God say? And He says your work is not in vain. Maybe they have a glass ceiling for you, but that's not what God does. He came down to you and is lifting you all the way up to heaven, and you're already at the right hand of the Father. Amen. People may say you can't do it, but God says you can try. And even if you fail, He still loves you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Have faith in Him. Listen, all you broken people. This word is for those of us who might not do so well or even care about putting on the mask of everything is beautiful. Everything is wonderful. How are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. That turns me off, man. We want to live a life that's in touch with our own brokenness and with the brokenness of others. We're trying to understand those who are hurting and bring a real sense of help and healing, giving them a sense of real meaning in all this mess and this chaos. Our God is a God of redemption, a God who loves the humble and the hurting like us. Maybe you feel so condemned because you did it wrong for so long that no one seems to trust you when you want to do it right. Oh, that's nobody. It's me. I'm preaching to me. Let me say it again. Maybe you feel so condemned because you did it wrong for so long that no one seems to trust you when you want to do it right. Listen to me now. Are we listening? That's what it feels like to many of our imperfect mothers and fathers and those who aren't mothers and fathers on these holidays. That's what it feels like to those who dodged the draft. Or those who didn't serve in the military on Memorial or Veterans Day. This condemnation, this sense of separation. This is what it feels like for those who are single, lonely, or widowed on Valentine's Day. For those who have children who passed away when we hear happy birthday. For those who went through a bitter divorce when they hear happy anniversary. Weddings, funerals, Graduations, celebrations, commemorations have the potential to trigger very unpleasant thoughts of condemnation, marginalization, inadequacy, illegitimacy, and if I can invent a word, irredeemability. But God is the ultimate redeemer. And our life counts, even if others seem to count us out, even when we feel left out. We see others lifted up and praised and happy, and we feel what? We feel separated. But nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We can celebrate with them and still be happy for us. Amen. What seems like fun or a proper focus may seem like death, loss of hope, joy, and peace for so many of us others. And we all fall into those traps at times. See, our old man that tries to creep back up has that longing, that yearning. You see it out there in the world all over the place, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Why we see some of the things that we do, because people are longing to connect. And so many things try to creep up and make us feel like we're disconnected once again. And it makes it hard to celebrate with other people when we need to. Why? Because nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. But we all fall into this trap at times, doesn't it? You hear a sad song, and you kind of go with it, and you feed on it, and then you're crying. You don't even know why you're crying. I just needed a good cry. See, the truth is none of us have a perfect situation with a perfect spouse, perfect children, perfect job, and we act perfectly all the time. None of us have a perfect church with a perfect pastor and perfect neighbors. No matter how clean and neat you're able to get your life, if I can just get this done, I've got to tell you something. No matter how clean you can get your life, no matter how well you can get your situation under control, you cannot avoid life and its messiness. You might as well face it, take off the mask, and show them who you really are, that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I may have scars, and I may have all kind of trouble, but my King has conquered me, and he's taken me all the way to glory. But you can wear a mask. And many people do. But sometimes our true colors come through, and we have to deal with our doubts. Sometimes it becomes very public. You can't hide out too long. But this is why Jesus Christ came into this messy world, leaving the perfection of heaven to set in motion the process of redemption and restoration. Through Christ, God will eventually and eternally clean it all up and make it all new and perfect. If we're a Christian, our truest, eternal colors are based on our union with Christ. And because of him, we are worthy. We are qualified. We can change, and we are changing. And we can try and fail and succeed, knowing that it's not what people say about us, it's what God says about us. It's not who we are as much as whose we are. And we're saints set apart for God as his people. And let me say something about change. People say, they say it all the time to me. Every week I hear someone say, well, they don't really change in this way. If you don't believe in the power of change, you have no hope for that person, you have no hope for the world, and you have no hope for yourself. That's what I tell young people all the time. You think you got to figure it out and you're 21 years old? Yikes. You don't know yet. We don't know yet, but I'm sure of this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Our significance, our sufficiency, our security come from our relationship with Jesus. The most important thing in the universe is the one that created it. The most important thing about you is the most important thing about me. So no one can look down on you, and you don't have to look down on anybody. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's what the rest of us need to hear. Amen? You see, a lot of us fail all kinds of standards, but Jesus is the only standard that eternally matters. And no one meets that standard. All have sinned and all fail to meet the standard of God's own glory. But thanks to God, he's made a way for us to meet the standard of perfection by our union with Christ. So when bad things just keep happening, when you seem to mess things up all over again, no one ever seems to give you a break, someone or something reminds you of your failures, your fears, your frustrations, don't blame God. Instead, look to him. Cling to him. Cry out to him. Trust him and learn to treasure him. We have to deal with all this mess and all of our mess for now, but not forever. So many ways that condemnation can come creeping in or crashing in. So many people and places feed into us without even meaning to or even realizing it. Don't be mad at them. Don't avoid them. Embrace your brokenness. Allow God to help you, not by avoiding people and avoiding your responsibility, but by being as real as you can, as real as you are. Be real. And be real in front of us. A real sinner who has real scars and real regrets and real problems, but who has a real loving Savior who has made you a saint despite what anybody else may think. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's why we can fellowship even when we feel separated. We're part of the ultimate in crowd. And if you trust Jesus, that's the truth about you too. See, we need to help people understand these things. We need to give those who don't understand a chance to see how much Christ matters to us in spite of all the doubts others have about us or that we have about ourselves. You don't have to doubt Jesus. That's the point. Jesus is our all in all. And who you are in Christ is what matters. Boy, now I'm going to get to something that's going to rock your world. You need to hear it. Because I know where our minds go. I know where my mind is gone when I hear something like this. I think it applies for everybody else, but not for me, because you see, we have something that money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, and death can't stop. But it goes further than that. You ready? We've been saying that phrase for a while around here, but it goes further than that. For the rest of us who may acknowledge all that, we acknowledge it. We have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, and death can't stop. But we still feel that we can mess it up somehow. Ah. Oh, something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, and death can't stop, but I still messed it up. No, you cannot. It says nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The text says that nothing in all creation can separate us. And are you a created being? Yes. That means we can't mess up God's love for us. God's love is stronger than us and our mess ups. Hallelujah. Amen. Money can't buy, poverty can't lose, death can't steal, no one can't stop, and you can't mess up. Woo! That's the point. Is he trying to just announce this parade for everybody that's nice and clean? No, he's talking about the rest of us. Nothing. Nothing. Not anything at all. What does it say right there? Death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including you, can separate you from the love of Christ, love of God in Christ Jesus. We have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, and we can't mess up. Thank you, Jesus. Let me switch a little bit of gears here and talk, make sure we get everybody swept up in this truth. People are looking to give voice to the pain they feel, the pain they see all around them. And the only way they seem to get any sense of victory in their personal struggles with suffering is to give voice to it. It's unfortunate the person that is able to define that and give voice to that, then people fall on like the Pied Piper and they may be going the wrong way with it. We see it all over the place on the talk shows. Someone's able to give voice to that pain and then it's like, okay, now we take them. Oh, wait. But here we are in the text, amen. Some people aren't trying to stray from a biblical foundation. We say, oh, the youth are, it's the same thing. It was the Beatles in the 60s. It was Led Zeppelin in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll was wine, women, and song back in the day. And some people, they're not trying to stray from a biblical foundation. They're trying to cement it into their own experience. They don't want to be hypocritical. They want an honest and sincere faith, not simply a set of abstract truths. They want to live it out. They may not be able to be pigeonholed into nice, neat categories. And after what I've been speaking about, we need to realize that most of us can't either. And we know that. We have to come clean about that. Otherwise, all we're going to do is continue to hide behind our masks. How are we going to make sense of all the chaos and messiness, the suffering and the tragedy? How does Jesus answer our questions and help us to ask the right ones? We need personal encounters with sin and brokenness to make this faith our own. We need to love broken people because we know that we're broken. If we don't show people how Jesus binds up the brokenhearted and we put on the masks, we do people wrong and we do Jesus wrong. You see this yearning all around. People identify with brokenness so much, that's why they're tattooing and piercing to show solidarity with the broken rather than be counted among the hypocritical Pharisees. That's what's going on. Do you understand that? People are looking for a connection. They want to make a statement. They want to say this. They want to say that. And we're all saying, no. But my Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? So you have this yearning. You have this desire to connect. Let me show you who to connect to eternally. You see, hiding behind a false image of everything is wonderful has created deep distress and distrust in people. And so people don't think they can measure up, and you know they can't, but neither can we. The fruit of this false image is being expressed in the anguish of Christians who cut, who starve, and who attempt or commit suicide. We need to hear the word of God's grace that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And when you say it, when we don't feel it, and we don't look like it, when others question it for us and for themselves. Sure, we're going to make progress in our Christian life. But when we try to project perfection to the world while concealing the reality of our broken lives and broken homes with other broken people, we lie. And we all know it. The kids, they know it. They know it. Your kids look all so beautiful and shiny and all that. And yes, put on your best behavior. I understand that. And at home, you're yelling and screaming at them. And you're saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And those kids know better. Your husband knows better. Your wife knows better. But even when you've messed it up, just come back. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, and you can't mess up. And if you really understand that and live that, you will change. The rest of us are well aware of the secrets we don't have the gospel guts to reveal. You see, the kids and all of us, the rest of us, are aware of the beast inside of ourselves. And we yearn to be loved despite our problems. Amen. And God's love for us in Christ is the one love that conquers all. That's why verse 37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You say, see, we're more than conquerors, and I live this perfect life and all this. Yeah, I'm glad you've made some progress. But I'm tired of hearing testimonies. People say, and I found Jesus, and I never smoked again. Well, I did. Of course, I didn't, but I, you know, drugs. And yes, I still love Jesus. And yes, he was changing me. But sometimes it takes a while for the truth to get a little bit of traction. First, he puts you into the kingdom, and then he shapes you like the kingdom. And too often, we're putting on these masks, and people know better. Why don't we just be real? It's not the conquerors that, I've overcome everything. No, God has overcome me, and he's leading me on the triumphal procession, and I may look like down and dirt and nothing to everybody else, but Jesus is leading the way, and even if I have to go through pain, persecution, problems, prison, my God is still leading the Hallelujah parade, and I'm in that. In all these things, as we're like sheep to the slaughter. And it says, in all these things, we're more than conquerors to him who loved us. Everybody else thinks we're being conquered. Everybody else thinks we're nothing. Everybody else says this, that, nothing. But for the rest of us, we know that we're not separated from the love of God in Christ. We need to admit our brokenness and explore this truth and its total power with others so that the only way, I'm telling you, the only way the darkness is dispelled is by exposing it to the light. I love those churches where they have on one side, they hold up the cardboard and says, drug user, other side, delivered. But it takes a while. But we can have stories like that, but we're not going to have them when we hide out in the dark. We put on our mask. Instead of continuing to hide behind our mask, pretending we don't need as much grace as the next guy. All are equal at the cross because all are in equal need of the cross. All of us are broken. But in Christ, we are made whole. We just don't look like it yet. But we are. No matter what happens, I am sure. Isn't that what we're looking for today? Something to be sure about. Here in what people call the greatest chapter of the Bible. It starts by saying, There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And it ends by saying, I am sure. Is anybody sure? Are you sure? Let me hear you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including me, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Father, we are jars of clay, that the exceeding greatness of power be shown to be that of Christ. It's to Him that we look. It's Him who we worship. It's Him who we're counting on when the rest of the world has counted us out and we count ourselves out. Help us to realize this in all that we do. Help us not to say that we're not going to make any changes and that we're not doing better and not to celebrate those things. We should. We should celebrate fathers and we should celebrate lovers and we should celebrate marriages and we should celebrate all these things. But when someone, somewhere, somehow, that has heard this voice, your voice, and they feel slighted, and they feel separated, and they feel downcast, let them know that you will never leave them nor forsake them, that they're seated in the heavenlies, that their life is not in vain, and that nothing can separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And if there's some people that don't know you, Lord, bring them to you that they might be able to say the same thing for your glory. And in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.